Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have a special guest with us again. And today we have Dylan Jones, who is the CEO of Coast Protein. And this is one of the first companies I've had on the show that really is in that health and fitness background or industry, and something quite close to my heart. So I'm excited for this. And I first want to start with saying, Dylan, thanks for being on the show with me today.
Thanks for having me, Avery.
So first question for you. This is really about who you are, and it's on the lens of a social impactor. So, you know, who you are, what do you do, and why do you believe that you're creating impact in the world?
As I said, my name is Dylan. I'm the CEO of Coast Protein, or Coast Cricket Protein, as a lot of people know it. So we are the first, or one of the first, there's a lot of argument around that, cricket protein companies in Canada, and we're about the third in the world to start selling cricket protein products that are in like protein bars and protein powders, so for ready to eat and ready to use type products. The reason we started the company specifically was to develop, educate, and sell products that are not only more sustainable than the current kind of product offerings of energy bars and protein powders, but also to get people thinking about the future of food, because I'm sure you and your listeners all know that we're in a kind of the tip of the mountain, or the top of the mountain, that on the, and we're going back down on the other side, where in, you know, the next 50 years the way we eat as society is going to change very drastically. So we need to start thinking about how we're going to change and how we're going to move into that very different food landscape.
But I mean, that's incredibly true, because it's crazy how unsustainable the current, you know, worldwide distribution of food is. It's completely unsustainable. It's completely, in many ways, unnatural. And we have to change the way that we eat, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of people know it within the industry, and you know, there's no one who's more aware of how broken the distribution system of food is than the people who are distributing food. It's just not something that is sustainable, either environmentally, economically, socially, you know, any really way. It just, you know, there's people who are starving, you know, beside people who are obese, and that's because our food system is broken. Not saying that Coast Protein is the one and only solution, but I think lots of, you know, food innovators, people who are thinking about not only, you know, the whole system of their food, who does it impact when it's grown, and who does it impact when it's thrown away, or when it's finished, you know? And that's something that we built in as a value base as our company. From looking at a whole supply chain as much as we can within the boundaries of our small business, and as we grow in as a business and grow in scope, we're also allowed to, you know, have the ability to even have more looking into what we're doing.
That's amazing. And I mean, what, because you know, you said arguably the first, I'm going to say you're the first because you're the first in the space. What gave you this idea, besides the fact that our, you know, food distribution system is falling apart and unsustainable? What was the reasoning behind it?
The biggest reason for me was I wanted a product that I could use for myself. So my background is in sustainability, specifically environmental sustainability.
Oh, that's mine too.
Yeah, cool. Like that's what I went to university for, right? And it's what I'm passionate about. It's what I've chosen to build my career around and my career choices around. But I'm also lactose intolerant. So when I first started looking, you know, like not first started, but when I was doing a lot of backcountry skiing in my 20s, I could never find a protein bar that A, tasted good, B, didn't have whey protein in it, and C, that gave me some type of connection to the food, right? Like the bar offerings in 2019 are far, far better than the bar offerings that were like even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But they just really lack that like story behind it. And even though it's a fast, ready to eat, convenient food, I still like to have that story behind something. So I started creating Actually, I should say my now fiance started creating bars for myself because the bars I were making were not very good. I'm actually a pretty good cook myself, but I'm a real bad baker. It's just there's too much science behind it. I can't flavor my way out of it. So we started making bars for ourselves, and we're looking at all these different types of protein sources. And I had come across edible insects in my work as looking at kind of a large macro scale look at agricultural practices and how devastating they were kind of globally. And edible insects as a sustainable protein and sustainable food source was a topic that was really popular in 2013.
Well, and I mean, I did a trip to Thailand, and you know, I was excited and everything. But when I got there, the amount of you know insects that are eaten there, it's incredible. And I you know I tried a lot of it too, and it's quite good. It's a sustainable source, and there's it really could be what feeds you know the world in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my first experience was in 2007 was in Cambodia with insects, and the thing that struck me, just like you said, with how good they taste. So many people just assume they taste bad, but you know the people who eat, the people who live in places like Southeast Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, who have insect-eating cultures, they don't eat them because they taste bad. They don't eat them because you know they eat them because they're cheap, eat them because they're delicious, and they eat them because they're convenient. Just like a lot of the types of food that you would find in a convenience store right in North America, it's the same reasoning. And so kind of, you know, fast forwarding, well, that's why we chose crickets is because they're really easy to use in products because they taste really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so with Coast Protein and everything that you're doing, how is this making a positive impact in your community?
Great question. We like to think it's kind of a twofold. It is getting people to think about where their food is coming from and how or why they're consuming that food. So we do, I don't even know how many demos. We do endless amounts of demos, events, and speaking events. And what we always tell people, even the people who are put off by the idea of eating insects, they do commonly stop and go, you know what, you're right. Like we do have to make changes. And that, to us, that's the first spark, right? That's the first spark into people switching to a plant-based diet. That's the first spark in people choosing better foods at the grocery store and saying no to, you know, mass-produced foods that use a lot of pesticides. It's people saying, what can I change to eat better? And for not only for myself and my family, but also for the world. The second part is that our products, like the crickets we buy, are very, very nutritious. They're very naturally nutritious. So all our products are all natural. And we like to think that we're giving people a better choice for food. So, you know, in the old days, it was Power Bars, and then it was Clif and Vega Bars. And now kind of the new generation, we'll call it the third wave of protein bars or energy bars, is very much all natural, real food as possible. You know, some are low sugar, some are only fruit made like ours. And it's giving people that convenience while giving them better nutrition. So it's that idea of good for the land, good for the planet, good for ourselves.
And I mean, you're kind of changing, you know, traditional mindsets at the same time, right? You've seen industries change, but there is that very sustainable mindset shift that's going to lead this new generation to have those sustainable foods.
Yeah, I mean, it has to. There was a report put out by, I believe it was it McGill? Or maybe it was the University of Halifax, just a few months ago now, talking about how the population of Canada under the age, I believe it was 24, is like 68% plant-based. And a lot of people were blown away by that stat, but I was not. I was like, I really said, you know, we've been working at this, not me, but many people have been working at a more sustainable food system for decades. And this is the result we wanted. Like, this is what people have been working towards is less consumption overall, but less consumption of conventional animals and a more sustainable eating kind of profile for all the people in Canada. And so it's happening, but it's still going to require that work and effort of everyone from from the grassroots into the, in like the tallest building sort of thing.
Yeah, you have to have those actors in place. And when I say actors, I mean people that you know are really there to sit, to put their foot down and say, you know, things need to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So with the conversation of business now, this idea of social impact, this idea of, you know, sustainable change, let's say, do you believe it's an important part of business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe I didn't do a good enough introduction of the company, but it is part, we have four kind of pillars, and it's social impact is one of those pillars. It's a core part of how we operate our business. It's not in our mission statement. It's not in our value or in our, like our vision. It's our business. Like it is how we operate, is how we're impacting people in an environmental way, in a physical way, in a social way. And the last one is in, like, some people call it spiritual, some people call it health and wellness, some people call it happiness. But how are we affecting ourselves within the company and the people we touch, our stakeholders and customers, in a, you know, in a kind of more emotional way. And that's what I think a lot of businesses I would like to see doing more of. But going back to the social impact part, you know, we're involved with things like 1% for the planet. We have plans to be a B Corp. We do a lot of mentoring for young entrepreneurs, for high school level students and things like that, which are just facets of our entire, you know, social profile. But the entire business is built around, you know, we want to be a company that can prove that you can be successful and not be exploitative.
Yeah, that's huge perspective taking as a business. And I admire you for that, for doing it with Coast Protein, because the more and more you do that, it's funny, they've actually shown the correlation is that the more and more you have perspective taking and social mandate to your company, you actually, in the end, do better. It's something like 2% more or 2 times more profit, and also more likable to your community, to your investors. It just all around is a better choice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When I, this is more environmentally focused, but when I was in the mining industry, exploration, and we were doing project financing, I divested a couple of our projects out of, you know, conventional investments and into green investments on the guys that the green investments are making more money. It's, you know, it's a good business, it's good business practice, but it's also, you know, good for the environment. And I think more people, draw a parallel between the nutrition, where more people are taking the nutrition seriously, more people are realizing that, you know, you can be good, quote unquote good, as a business, but be more successful than conventional business, because it's very simple in my mind, is the consumer doesn't hate you. They actually, yeah, they support your business and like you and like what you're doing. And that's, you know, that's something that's kind of been missed for the last 100 years of business, maybe more. I'm not quite sure.
I think it's been that way for as long as we've had, you know, structural business. It's, yeah, this is a very, very new idea, but almost a more human idea that's brought back into business.
Yeah, it very much is. I can't even remember. So I don't know if I should give you the example, because I can't remember who said it, but it was someone who's comparing the idea of the old village marketplace. And, you know, I should give a caveat before I say this. I'm not a believer in the barter system. I think fiat money does just fine. But in the old barter marketplace, in the the community square, that's where all the business, all the commerce happened, in those old villages. But that's also where the community was built and where people built relationships and things like that. And I think, you know, can we go back to the community market model? No. But I think there's lessons to be learned there, that people were able to have a win-win situation constantly without being exploitative. They just, you know, nobody became 100 billionaires, and that's, I think, okay in the long run.
No. And the more and more we have this mindset of, you know, creating social impact companies, the more and more we make less disparity for people, you know, financially, which I admire that you're doing that. So for the last question, this is your advice. So this is very much about, you know, everything that you've learned, maybe your sustainability background. what is your advice for listeners of this podcast to begin making their own social impact in their communities?
You know, it's funny is I just went over this almost exact same question with one of my mentees 2 days ago. So I'm going to give everyone the same advice I gave him was, obviously, like the obvious choice is pick what you're passionate about. Everyone knows what that, they've heard that a million times, so I'm not going to go into that. But it is, don't reinvent the wheel. There are lots of fantastic organizations doing fantastic work in something you probably care about. And supporting them financially, like if you're a business, supporting them with volunteer hours, sitting on their board and helping them is usually more impactful because you're pooling the resources of many people. If you find something you're very passionate about and no one is doing it, you know, that's when I think people need to start looking at creating a social enterprise around it, finding resources in the community. Like I'm from Vancouver, so things like the local credit unions, the municipal grant organizations are fantastic resources to building something that's real impact. So I very much believe in like in discourse and in grassroots change. But I also think that in 2019, when we're staring down the barrel of like out of control global climate change and kind of ecosystem collapse, it's time to get off the proverbial pot and start working. And I think so people finding something they're passionate about and something that they can make change happen fast with resources that are real is very, very important and very impactful.
I like that. Get off the proverbial pot. It's true. I mean, we're at a tipping point, right? And we have natural ways. I learned about this at a workshop yesterday. It's called biomimicry. We can mimic the natural environment to really make business more sustainable, but really just use what's already out there. It's incredible.
Yeah, and one, like, this is just a pet peeve of mine, but stop saying save the planet. I think I probably already said save the planet during this podcast, so, you know, I'm the hypocrite, but stop saying save the planet. Start talking about saving the human ecosystem, because the planet has been covered in kilometers of ice, and at one part is a glowing ball of magma. The planet will be fine. We're trying to save ourselves. That's what the goal of this is, and there's so many different ways to do it, but people just really got to start taking it a lot more seriously.
Well, I mean, kudos to you for being a leader in that industry and really, you know, showcasing again what it is to be a social impactor. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, Dylan, I just want to, you know, end this podcast with saying, again, thank you for taking time to be with me today. And if anyone wants to connect with you or find out more about Coast Protein, what's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, definitely check out our website, coastprotein.com, or visit us on Instagram. That's just, you know, Instagram, Coast Protein, that's COAST. And we're very active on Instagram. We have, you know, great customer service on the website as well. So if you have any questions or want to share or you want to try some samples, just shout out, let us know, and we'll be happy to engage with you.